Hello, everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine. I'm your host. And today we are in episode 116.3, which means it's Wednesday. And we are a couple of days out from Easter. Let me say this first. If you have been fasting for the last 40 days, whatever it might have been that you gave up, keep going. You only have a couple of days more to go. If you fell off a couple of times, get back on. You know, or if you did fall off, you know, you can still do it with the last couple of days. So anyway, just congratulations to those who have stuck with it. And, you know, sometimes you don't even miss it. Once it's gone, it's gone. You won't even miss it. Also, I wanted to say this. I was thinking about yesterday's reading and reading about Solomon and how he started worshiping pagan gods and idols because he had all those wives and concubines that God said don't marry these women because they're going to throw you off track. And I was thinking about the takeaway for that because I didn't have a takeaway yesterday, but I feel like the message that came to me later on was that, you know, God uses us. Doesn't matter, you know, what we've done or who we were. Or, you know, he will use you no matter what. And Solomon started out wise and wanting to be a godly man and, you know, lead the Israelites the right way. But then he fell off track at the end. And, you know, David fell off track. And, you know, you could probably go back in and, you know, see how different men fell off track. You know, Moses did, you know, Moses with the rock, with the water, I think that was where he fell off track. Everybody falls off track because we have sin in our lives. We can't, that's what we are. So don't be dismayed, I guess is what I'm saying is, you know, get back on track. If you've fallen off, get back on it. You know, if you haven't been to church in a long time, you know what? Easter's just coming up. Start going, you know, don't be just a Christmas and Easter person. Go all the time, or at least watch it online, you know, but get back into, you know, being on track with God, because that's what he wants from us. He wants us to be obedient and do the right thing. So, all right, got that said. So many things have been going through my head lately, but, you know, we'll get to that another day. So I'm going to pray and then give you your verse of the day. And then we'll read from 1 Kings. And I think we're in chapter 12. Yeah. Okay. So let's pray. Holy God, Heavenly Father, we come to you with hearts of thanksgiving and praise and glory for you, Lord. We lift you up on high. We exalt you above all things. And we love you so much. And we're so grateful for all that you do for us. Thank you. Lord, we're not worthy of you. We are sinners, and we ask for forgiveness of our sins, Lord. And we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice on the cross, the blood that he shed for us, the holy and spotless Lamb. He sacrificed his life so that we may live. And we are redeemed, we are forgiven, and we are thankful for the gift of salvation. So thank you so much. Lord, we are especially thankful for this week. We're in the middle of Holy Week, and we thank you for all these events that are leading up to Easter Sunday, the day that we rejoice, because it means that Jesus came back. He rose from the dead just like he said he would. And the tomb was empty. So Lord, thank you for him rebuilding the church in 3 days, just like he said he would. Lord, I'm grateful and thankful for those who are out there listening, watching, praying blessings over each one of them. Pray for those who haven't even found us yet, but you're going to be sending them. I pray that they come and they hear the word of God, whoever they might be. Lord, I just pray that they come and they get into your word and start learning who you are. Because the more you read, the more you learn. And we're just thankful for that. Lord, I invite you into this time in your word. Your word is holy and precious to us, and we are thankful that you gave us this manual for life to help us get through this life. So, Lord, we ask you to anoint it and reveal to us what it is that you want from us to understand. I thank you for giving me that message yesterday. So, Lord, just open our eyes and our hearts to you, empty us of ourselves so that we can receive the message that you want us to hear. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say and keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today's verse is from Mark 10, verse 15, and it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. I think, you know, we have to go down to bare bones and relieve ourselves of the world and what it tells us and clear our minds like a child. And I think that's what he wants from us. He wants us to have faith like a child and believe. You know, back in the day when you believed everything, everything was real, everything was true. And I think that's what he wants us to be like. He wants us to just have face value. God is good. God is faithful. God will take care of it. Always has, always will. And I think that's what he wants us to do. I think he wants us to believe wholeheartedly without hesitation. And sometimes it's hard as a human to do that because, you know, life gets in the way. And we sometimes forget. Faith is believing what you can't see, and that's what you do. So that's the verse of the day. I did not get to highlight first. I was a little busy today, so just diving in with you guys, just like fresh, just like you are. So Solomon died at the end of the last chapter, if you remember. When he died, he was buried in the city of David, named for his father, and Rehoboam became the next king. So Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all Israel had gathered to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard of this, he returned from Egypt, for he had fled to Egypt to escape from King Solomon, because Solomon was trying to kill him. The leaders of Israel summoned him, and Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel went to speak with Rehoboam. Your father was a hard master, they said. Lighten the harsh labor demands and heavy taxes that your father imposed on us. Then we will be your loyal subjects. Rehoboam replied, give me 3 days to think this over. Then come back for my answer. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam discussed the matter with the older men who had counseled his father Solomon. What is your advice? He asked. How should I answer these people? The older counselors replied, if you are willing to be a servant to these people today and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your loyal subjects. But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men and instead asked the opinion of the young men who had grown up with him and were now his advisors. What is your advice? He asked them. How should I answer these people who want me to lighten the burdens imposed by my father? The young men replied, this is what you should tell those complainers who want a lighter burden. My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Yes, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions. 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to hear Rehoboam's decision, just as the king had ordered. But Rehoboam spoke harshly to the people, for he rejected the advice of the older counselors and followed the counsel of his younger advisors. He told the people, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I am going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions. So the king paid no attention to the people. This turn of events was the will of the Lord, for it fulfilled the Lord's message to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through the prophet Ahijah from Shiloh. When all Israel realized that the king had refused to listen to them, they responded, "Down with the dynasty of David. We have no interest in the son of Jesse. Back to your homes, O Israel. Look out for your own house, O David." So the people of Israel returned home, but Rehoboam continued to rule over the Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah. King Rehoboam sent Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor, to restore order, but the people of Israel stoned him to death. When this news reached King Rehoboam, he quickly jumped into his chariot and fled to Jerusalem. And to this day, the northern tribes of Israel have refused to be ruled by a descendant of David. When the people of Israel learned of Jeroboam's return from Egypt, they called an assembly and made him king over all of Israel. So only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to the family of David. Shemaiah's prophecy. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mobilized the men of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 select troops, to fight against the men of Israel and to restore the kingdom to himself. But God said to Shemaiah, the man of God, "Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the people of Judah and Benjamin and to the rest of the people, this is what the Lord says. Do not fight against your relatives, the Israelites. Go back home, for what has happened is my doing." So they obeyed the message of the Lord and went home as the Lord commanded. Jeroboam makes gold calves. Jeroboam then built up the city of Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and it became his capital. Later he went and built up the town of Peniel. Jeroboam thought to himself, "Unless I am careful, the kingdom will return to the dynasty of David. When these people go to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord, they will again give their allegiance to King Rehoboam of Judah. They will kill me and make him their king instead." So on the advice of his counselors, the king made two gold calves. He said to the people, "It is too much trouble for you to worship in Jerusalem. Look, Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of Egypt." He placed these calf idols in Bethel and Dan, at either end of his kingdom. But this became a great sin, for the people worshiped the idols, traveling as far north as Dan to worship the one here. Jeroboam also erected buildings at the pagan shrines and ordained priests from the common people, those who were not from the priestly tribe of Levi. And Jeroboam instituted a religious festival in Bethel, held on the 15th day of the 8th month, in imitation of the annual festival of shelters in Judah. There at Bethel, he himself offered sacrifices to the calves he had made, and he appointed priests for the pagan shrines he had made. So on the 15th day of the 8th month, a day that he himself had designated, Jeroboam offered sacrifices on the altar at Bethel. He instituted a religious festival for Israel, and he went up to the altar to burn incense. All right. So this is where it says the northern tribes revolt. All right. So Rehoboam is the king now. Jeroboam comes back from Egypt because he fled from King Solomon. They ask Rehoboam to lighten up the load that his father put in there. The older guys tell him, you know, you should find your subjects favorable and they will, you know, give them a good word and they will always be loyal to you. But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men and instead asked the opinion of his younger friends, and they said, "No, you know, make it even worse for them. Tell them that they're going to get whipped with scorpions instead of whips." 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam's decision, And he says, I'm going to beat you with scorpions. So in 15, so the king paid no attention to the people. This turn of events was the will of the Lord, for it fulfilled the Lord's message to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through the prophet Ahijah from Shiloh. So this is fulfilling what God said. When all Israel realized that the king had refused to listen to them, they responded, down with the dynasty of David. We have no interest in the son of Jesse. So they're telling Dave, the house of David, watch out for your own house. So the people of Israel returned home, but Rehoboam continued to rule over the Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah. So that's the separation, Israel and Judah. And so King Rehoboam sent Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor, to restore order. But the people stoned him, the people of Israel stoned him. And so he flees to Jerusalem. And to this day, the northern tribes of Israel refuse to obey or be ruled by descendants of David. So that's a lot of history packed in there. I'm sure that's got to do a lot with what's going on today in Israel. So only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to the family of David. All right. So then Jeroboam is kind of catering to the Israelites. And, you know, he makes the gold calves, and he's trying to make it easy for them to, you know, worship. And then he makes a new festival in like an imitation festival of shelter. So he's sort of altering, you know, all the festivals and stuff. He's kind of making his own religion, I guess, so to speak. So I don't think this is going to fare well for him. That's it for today's reading. So, you know, I didn't really get a takeaway from that, except that we're seeing the separation of Jerusalem and Judah. And of course, we know that Jesus comes from the line of David. So, you know, we all know we kind of know where it's going, right? That's it for today's reading. But I will not end without giving anybody out there who has a feeling that God is calling them. If you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, what a perfect week to do that, to make Jesus your King and Savior. So I will lead you in the prayer. It's not about me. It's about you and your relationship with God. And so I'm just going to say the prayer, and I hope that you decide to say it too. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It's his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations. Welcome into the amazing family of Christ. You're a brother or sister in Christ now, and nobody can take that away from you. It's an amazing day. It's a day to celebrate. There's probably somebody who has been praying for you, so you might want to go tell them so they can take you out to dinner. Maybe you should take them out to dinner because they were praying for you. But mark it in your Bible that today is your day. Whatever that day might be. It might be today, it might be tomorrow. I don't know what date it is that you actually aren't listening or watching this. So, but congratulations. We would love to hear from you if you did say the prayer. Lorraine at leapoffaithpodcast.org or Jeremiah at leapoffaithpodcast.org. Please message us. Let us know. And if you need prayer, we'd be happy to pray for you. We also encourage you to get to a church. Find a pastor that you can ask questions, get involved with your church. There's ministry, there's Bible studies, there's small groups, mission work. There's tons of stuff that need to be done at any church. I don't care how big or small they are. They always need volunteers. So find out what God is asking you to do, because everybody has a purpose in God's kingdom. And you just got to pray about it and figure out what it is that he wants you to do. Use your talents. Everybody's got a talent, you know. So even I do. I don't know what it is, but no, I'm kidding. That's it for today. I am so blessed to be able to do this, and I'm so happy that you found us. And I hope that you continue on this marathon reading through the Bible. God bless you. Have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow.